Yesterday, we began the Mishnah in the 10th Perek of Shabbos, Perek HaMatzniah, and we got up to the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Omid Beis. Now, just to review very quickly what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah says that if a person stores away various objects according to various measurements and he carries them out on Shabbos, then because of the significance of these objects, like for example a zera, a seed that can be planted and grow, he's chayav for a kol shehu. So in other words, he indicates how significant it is for him to take this zera out to the fields or out to the rishus harabim. How does he indicate that? Because he was matznia. Matznia means he stored it away. He locked it up somewhere in a closet. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Lama leila misni hamatznia? Why does the Mishnah have to teach me this halacha in a case where he stored it away?" Lisni hamotzi lizera. He takes out a seed which he wants to plant. That indicates that in his eyes it's very significant. And what difference does it make whether he locked it up or he didn't lock it up? The locking it up is only an indication that it's significant. He's taking it out without locking it up, and he wants to plant a seed. That means that it's significant to him. Lidugma. Well, for example, if he's a businessman and he wants to show a sample for his potential clients, he takes out a very small cloth. Lirafua, something that has medicinal therapeutic value, as small as it might be, it's very significant for him. He has to take it to heal someone. Chayav b'kolshu, the Mishnah should have told me that since he's on his way to plant the seed, he's on his way to the showcase to show his samples, he's on his way to a cholet to administer medical therapy, so that's why he's chayav. Well, why do you have to tell me he was matznia? The whole entity of matznia here, the fact that he was locking it up seems to be totally irrelevant. Amar Abaye, hacha b'mayaskinon kegon shetznio v'shachach lema lama hitznio. I'll read the next five words in just a second. Let's just get the background. In general, kol shehu is not enough. You need a minimum shear. The exception to the rule is when you have a definite purpose. You have a definite goal. Here's the scenario. He initially locked up a minimum amount of kol shehu for one of those three purposes that we mentioned. And then he carries it out. The problem is that when he carried it out, he forgot exactly what was his purpose. Now again, if he forgot what his purpose is, then at the moment of Hotzav carrying, he didn't have that in mind. We therefore should fall back to the classic shear that's objective for everyone, of a grogeres or a kezias, or whatever the shear might be. Why kol shehu? Hashtaka mapik le stoma. Says Abaye, we have a halachic category called stoma. I'll give you an example of what I think Abaye has in mind, and we'll turn to Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. A sofer has to write a sefer Torah lishma. Or, for example, a get has to be written lishma. What happens if the sofer has in mind, for the sake of this man and this woman, and then stoma? You know, he blanks out, so to speak. He gets so involved in writing that he forgets, you know, the name of the Ish, the name of the Isha. That's called stoma. And the question is, how do we define stoma? When a person initially, at the get-go, had a definite purpose in mind, and then stoma. And then he goes blank, so to speak. Mal detem, I might think, bitule batle machshavto, that at this point, since he doesn't have, when he takes out the seed, a definite purpose in mind, intentionally to plant that seed, then from that moment on, we go back to Shar B'nai Adam. And the halacha is you have to take out a certain shear, a minimum shear. A kol shu would not be enough. Kamash Malan. The Mishnah tells us an unbelievable chiddush that kol ose al das rishona hu ose. That stoma, like in the case of sofer that I gave you before, is considered aldas rishona. Whatever his initial intention is, even though he blanks out, again, if he has a negative intention and he changes his mind, that's a different story. But if he doesn't have anything in mind, it's like a blank, then we go back to his original machshava. His original machshava was to plant that seed, and therefore that seed, even though it's one single seed, normally we need a minimum of two or five seeds, different shiurim, is enough to make him liable for chatos, for violating the Lechet Hotzah on Shabbos, because he initially had in mind that he was going to plant that seed, and even though at the moment that he left his house and he walked out to Sarabim, he had a stomach, but we say that stomach is Haldas Rishona Hu Ose. Omer Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, Mechayev Hoye Rabbi Meir. So Shmuel is quoting Rabbi Meir, who seems to, at the face of it, be repeating what we already know. That Rabbi Meir says, Yechayev af b'motzi chita achas lizria. Now wait a second, when it comes to someone who carries, in this case a chita, for the purpose of planting, the Mishnah already told me that it's a kol shu. So why did Shmuel feel compelled to reiterate in the name of Rabbi Meir exactly what we learned in that Mishnah? Pshita, kol shu tnan, the Mishnah says that if it's for the purpose of planting, any minimal amount is enough to find him chayav achatos for violating the biblical malacha of hotzah. The same I would have thought. Kol shu, when the Mishnah says that any amount, no matter how small it is, you're chayav, is lafuki migrogeres. In other words, if you have a foodstuff, the minimum amount that you have to bring out is a dried fig or grogeres. Maybe the word kol shu here is being used loosely to reduce the shear. The normal shear in kol haTorah kula, for example, if you eat food that's prohibited, you're only chayav if you eat a kezias worth. Kezias is smaller than a grogeres. I might think that in the case of a seed, because the seed is so important to plant his wheat, he would be chayev for a shear that's less than a grogeres, and we would imply we'd apply the shear of kol haTorah kula for all ochlin, which is kezias. But li'olam ad de'ika kezias, he's not going to be chayev unless he carries a kezias' worth of seeds. Kamash Malon Shmuel wants to teach us in the name of Rabbi Meir that you're chayev even for a kol shehu. And take the Mishnah literally. Don't think the Mishnah's kol shehu means to reduce it one notch from the level of grogeres down to kezias. No, it's a kol shehu. Maskif lo Rav Yitzchak bereid Rav Yehuda elameyata. According to your logic, chishev lahotzi kol beso. You're telling me, based on our Mishnah, that you subjectively, because of your purpose, have decided what the shear is for Otzah. And that goes l'chumra. You can be chayav for a kol shu because you intend to plant that seed. And for you, one seed is chashuv. Well, let's take it l'kula. Let's flip it around to the other side. What happens if a person indicates that he wants to carry a great, massive volume of objects out to Rishus Sarabim? He's moving his house. He's packing out. Is in such a case, Chishev lahotzi kol beso achinami dolo mechayev ademapik lekule? Are you going to tell me that his subjective definition of chashivus will determine that less than what he intends will not be considered chashiv in his eyes, and therefore he's patur? And the Gemara answers, no, no, no. That we cannot say. Why? The Torah gives us objective shiurim. And hasam butla daito itzel kolota. Just because he is moving apartments and he wants to carry out this and that and that and that, that doesn't change the shiur. This chashivus, that's objective, based on Jewish law, of a grogeris worth, or whatever the shear might be. Then the Mishnah says, "Kol adam ein chayov ela b'shiuro." If the purpose is not for a kol shehu, like planting a seed, etc., we gave three examples, then we go back, we fall back to the shear that is objective for everyone. Gemara says, Masnisin de loker Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that the concept of a subjective purpose that reduces the shear and the chiyuv to a kol shehu would apply not only for that person, but for chol adam as well. How? The sanya we learned in the brisa klal omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Kol she'eino kosher latznia v'huchshar loze latznio. For other people, it's not enough. You know, they want to take out five seeds. He decides he wants to plant one single seed. So what does he do? He locks it up. He stores it under lock and key. Says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Ba acher vahotzi. So is Reuven who locked it up because of his intention to plant the seed. Shimon comes along, and he picks up that seed, and he carries it out to Rishus HaRabim. An amazing chiddush. And that chiddush is that Reuven, since he had the machshava, he generates chashivus in the object, such that anyone else who carries out that object is going to be chayav, even though it's a kol shehu. And our Mishnah says no. Our Mishnah says, L'chol adam ein chayav en ela b'shi'uro. That this concept of a subjective shear is only relevant to that one individual who locked it up and had intention to bring out the kol shehu, and that's his chashivus. It has no impact on anyone else. Lafuke to the exclusion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Omar Rav, Omar Rav Nachman, Hotzi, Grogeres la'achila. So he wants to eat a certain food, and the minimum shear is a grogeres. But if a nimlach oleh lizria, so we talk about seeds that can be eaten or can be planted, right? We call them garinim, right, in our lingo, and they can be planted. He picked up the seed, and his intention was to eat that seed. Now, what was the size of that seed? Well, it was a grogeris worth. So at this point, it looks like there's no question, hands down, he'll be chayav. Nimlach alav lizria. Now he changed his mind, he wants to plant it. So how much more so is he going to be chayav? Because when he puts this down in Rishus HaRabim, he would have been chayav even for less than a grogeris if the original machshava was for the purpose of planting. Inami. Now we have another case where his initial intention was Lizria. He was going to plant it. But how much did he carry out? A full grogeris worth. Is v'nimlach olav oleh l'achila. He decides he wants to eat it. Okay. He has a full grogeris worth. Chayav. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why do I need Rava to tell me this? Zil hacha ikashira, zil hacha ikashira. In both cases, he has a full shear. So Gemara says, Ma'od, the same I would have thought. Be'inon akira v'anocha b'chada machshava. That in order to violate meleches hotzah, I need an absolute connection and integrate both the akira and the anocha. And they both have to have in mind the same purpose. Here, at the time of his akira, he had one purpose. At the time of his anocha, he had a different purpose. For Aleko, he doesn't have the same purpose in mind. He either changed his mind from Achila to Zriya, or the reverse. It's Kamash Malan, that's what Rava wants to teach us, that you're chayv from Meleches Hotzah, as long as whatever your intention was, the amount that you took out is a Shira Machayev. It's enough to find you liable. So if your initial machshava was for one purpose, let's say, for example, for Zriya, but you carried out a full grogeris worth, now you decide to eat it, you're going to be chayav. By Rava, but Rava says here, in the following scenario, I have a confusion. Hotzi chatzi grogeris lizriya. He's carrying now half a grogeris for the purpose of planting it. And if, let's say, he changes his mind and he wants to eat it from the perspective of his original hanocha, I'm sorry, his original akira, he would not be chayev. Why? Because he only took out a chatzi grogeres. For achila, you need a full grogeres. But what happened? Before he puts it down, you know, he's running around Rishus HaRabim, before he makes hanocha, tofcha. Right, this particular kernel of wheat or whatever it might be, swelled up. And therefore, it became a full shear of a grogeres. So the man says to himself, you know what? I have a grogeres worth of seed here. Why should I waste it on planting it, you know, till it grows, it'll take a couple of yovels. I might as well eat it. V'nimlach olel achila. Mahu. Should it be chayev? And Rava has doubts about this. Why? Because initially when he did his akira, he only had a chatzi grogeres. If his ultimate intention when he changed his mind would have been his intention originally at the time of akira, he doesn't have a shear. It's not like the previous case where no matter how you cut the cake, he had a full shear of a grogeres. Here he has a half a grogeres. If he had the full shear of grogeres, Rava said that's pshita, he's definitely chayev, and we can integrate both the akira and anocha. But how can we integrate the akira and anocha in this case when the akira was on a chatzi grogeres? His anocha was for the purpose of achila, and he has a grogeres, but he didn't have a grogeres when he made his akira. And Rava says, even if he creates a flow chart, and if you'll tell me he's chayev in this case. Why? Because both the akira and the hanocha were mechayevim, because the akira was for the purpose of planting, so he took out a chatzi grogeres, which is a shear of chiyuv, and his hanocha was for the purpose of eating, and he has now in his hand a full grogeres worth of achila. Zil hacha ikashir, zil hacha ikashira. But hacha came unto the idna, the afke lo havi beishir achila, lo machayev, since at the time that he lifted up the object for the akira, he didn't have a shir achila, and at the ultimate purpose of his hanocha was for achila, is lo machayev, odilma, came into iu ishtik, the iu ishtik velo chashev alei, mechayev hashtinami mechayev, amachshova, mechayev amachshova dizriya, hachinami mechayev. Maybe we should say he's chayev anyway. Why? Because the akira was a perfectly mechayev akira, and if he hadn't changed his mind, he would be chayev for chatzi gogeres. So the chatzi gogeres that he carried out into Rishus HaRabim when he made his akira was enough to be mechayev and based on his intention. And not only that, at the time of his hanocha, he has a full grogeres, so if he changed his mind for achila, he should be chayev. And v'im tibzalomar, and if you're going to tell me, like the second sad, that keva de'ilu ishtik v'lo chishev aleh, mechayev amachshev ezriya, es hashtanami mechayev. So I'm going to grant you now, as we said before about the flowchart, that had he not changed his mind, he would be chayv, and therefore he's chayv now, because he has the shear of hotzah, both from the akira and from the anocha perspectives. But here's my question, says Rafa. Hotzi could grow geres liachila. His original purpose was achila, and now he has a full grow geres. However, tzomka, before he got to put it down in Rishus HaRabim, it shrank. And now, nimlach olel Israel. He says, I have a very small amount of seed over here. It's not worth eating it. I might as well plant it. Is mao? What should be the din in this case? Hocha vade ki ishtik amachshava kamaisa lo machayev. In other words, if he would have continued with his original initial intention to eat it, he would not be chayev, because when he did the anocha, he doesn't have a full grogeres' worth for achila. O dilma, or maybe we could say that even in this case, he should be chayev. Why? Basar hashtaz lina. Let's take the anocha independent and see if, given his intention, he has a full shear. And his intention now is to plant it. Well, he's only got a chatzi gogeris because it shrank in the middle, but that's enough to achieve his goal now and plant it. Is mechayev. The imtim salom again in the flow chart. Basar hashtaz linon umechayev. Let's look at his intention when he completes meleches hotzah, which is namely to plant this seed, and he has a shear, therefore he's chayev. What about the following case, asks Rava? Hotzi kigro geres lachila. His original intention was to eat it. And enochinami, he's got a full grow geres, vitsomka. And now it gets reduced in size. Vechazra vitofcha. And then it swells again. All this depends, by the way, on climactic conditions. The Gemara tells us in a number of places that if it's cold, if it's hot, you know, it swells, it shrinks. Here's a case where it went through three different stages. Initially, it was a full grogeris. That's stage T1 at the point of Akira. Somewhere between the Akira and the Anocha, two other things happened. Number one, it got shrunk. And number two, it swelled again. And now, at the time of Anocha, when he wants to eat it, he's got a full shear of grogeris. Mao, what's the din? Yesh dichui linyan Shabbos, or ain dichui linyan Shabbos. Meaning, if at one point the object is not roy, it's not suitable, then that becomes fixed in stone. And even if later on the reason it became unsuitable is removed and now it's suitable, well, we have dichui, we have negation, we rejected it. So, for example, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah speaks about hadasim. If you have hadasim that have more berries than leaves, then they're posel. What happens if the leaves fall off? Do we say yesh dichui etzol mitzvos? And once this mitzvah was rejected, because at one point in time the hadas was posel, it doesn't become kosher again, that's set in stone. We have in korbanos the case of a person who's magdish a korban and a mum fell in the korban, and now it's nidche from mizbeach, and then the mum somehow miraculously got healed. Do we say yesh dichui etzol mizbeach? And once the animal was branded as disqualified, it remains disqualified. What about in the case of Shabbos? The very moment of Tzomka, he's not going to be chayev, because he has less than a gogeris worth. He's carrying less than a gogeris worth of a kernel of a seed, which would not satiate him. In other words, his intention from the beginning of the get-go till the end was achila. If we say yesh dichui etzel Shabbos, then the meleches hotzah at that moment in time was completely rejected, was completely out of the ballpark, because it's tzomka, he doesn't have a gogeres. And then even though it swells up later, and now he has a full gogeres, he's going to be potter. Or should we say no? There's no such din as dichui in meleches Shabbos, and even if at one point he wouldn't have been chayev, we just care about the end zones. He began with an akira of a full grogeres, and he ended his hanocha with a full grogeres. Who cares if at some point in the middle there was less than a grogeres? Okay, we're all gassed up for an answer, but like all of life, teku. Boimine Rava Mirav Nachman Zorak Kizayis Truma Lebayis Tome Mahu. A man throws a Kizayis worth of Truma and is already Tuma in that bias. What's the status? So Gemara immediately asks Lamai, what to what area of halacha is your question relevant? Ile inyan Shabbos. If you want to know whether he's chayef for Shabbos, well, wait a minute. He threw a kizayis worth. When it comes to foodstuff, from meleches hotzah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you need a minimum of gogeres, which is larger than a kizayis. Ile inyan tuma. What's the shear? The minimum shear for Tumah. In other words, if you want to know whether the Truma became Truma Tumea, well, he only had a Kizayis of Truma. And in Hilchas Tumah, kibetza ochlin beina, the minimum shear of truma to acquire tuma and to become tame is going to be a full kibetza. And a kibetza, once again, is larger than a kizayis. Liolam says to Gemara, my question was linyan Shabbos. But what was the case? Kigon de ika pachos mi kibetzas ochlin. V'hai mashlimo libetza. In other words, he already has a certain volume of food in the house from the get-go. And now he throws more food into the house so that sachakol, he has a full shear. Now, the reason why the Gemara picks up the shear of kibetza is because of a principle which is called hoil. Hoil means that if in one context in halacha that will be a valid shear, then it automatically triggers off a repercussion in another area of halacha. So, mita itzrich linyan tuma. I'm sorry, mita kometz tarif linyan tuma. The halacha in tuma is that if you have two bits of food, in this case truma, and the sachakol, when you put the two bits together, is kibetza, therefore it contracts tuma. So once I have this concept called siruf, in which we combine that half a kibetza that he threw into the house with the half of the kibetza that is already in the house, setting up a full kibetza, then it's makabel tuma. Now I could apply my principle of hoil. Tuma itself gave me the agency to connect the chatzi beitza with the other chatzi beitza. Is therefore mechayev nami linyan Shabbos. We have now a shir chashuv for hotzas Shabbos. Remind me, there's a long discussion here about why Rava formulates his question in Zrika. Why would it be any different if he carried half of a beitza into the house? Oh, Dilma, I'm not so convinced that the chashivus of Tuma is going to impact on Shabbos. Kol in your Shabbos ki grogos be'inon, less than a full grogeres, is not going to be a meleches hotzah. And even if you're mitzarif that which he's throwing into the house with that which is already in the house, all you got together was a kibetza, and we need a grogeres worth. So we're not going to say that the chashivas of tuma impacts on hotzah. Amalei, Sir Rav Nachman responded, Tanisua, we learned a braisa, Abashol, Omer, Shtei alechem v'lechem aponim shi'uram kigrogeres, the minimum shear for the weekly lechem aponim, or the annual shtei alechem is kigrogeres. So now, what exactly did Rav Nachman teach me over here? I mean, again, it says here that we have a shear of grogeres, fine. If we were learning the laws of Kodshim, he says, Vamai. So the Gemara says the following. Rav Nachman wanted to know, Amai, why is it that we need a shear of grogeres in these cases? Normally the shear would be less than a grogeres, who he, let's say, kizayis. So he says, Lema, shall we suggest the following? And here we're going to turn to Daf Tzadi Aleph on the base. Mi de le inyan yotze. Bekizayis le inyan Shabbos nami bekizayis. Okay. So now we have the following. Rav Nachman analyzes this brisa from the perspective of Shabbos. And he says the following. This brisa wants to teach us not just that the shear of mitzvah shtei alechem and lechem aponim is kugrogeres, but moreover, if you would carry out on Shabbos from the shtei alechem, you grabbed off a piece, or from the lechem aponim, which was a grogeres' worth, then you'd be chayav. And the question is, why are you only chayav for a grogeris worth? Midal inyan yotze b'kizayis, Shabbos nami b'kizayis. Shouldn't we have said the following? This kind of a hoil. As far as shteil lechem and lechem aponim is concerned, there's a psul yotze, which means that if you took out of the azara, you took out of the Beis HaMikdash a certain minimum shear, it would be possible b'toris yotze. What's the minimum shear, the chashivus of the psul yotze? It's a kizayis. Then, if you carried out that same exact shear of lechem aponim or shteil lechem on Shabbos from a rishus hayochid out to rishus harabim, then you should be chayav b'kizayis. Why? Because the Torah already says that carrying out this kizayis would generate the psul of yotzei. So why not say that since, as far as yotzei, the Torah has determined that a kizayis is enough to generate chashivas for psul yotzei, now, if so facto, we should be chayav otzah on that very same kizayis worth. We don't need a kigrogeres. Why does the Bryce insist that he's only chayav if he carries a grogeres? And the answer is because we don't apply the principle of hoil. We're not going to say that since in kodshim it's considered chashiv, even though it's only a kizayis, therefore in tzah it's going to be chashiv as a kizayis. The Gemara says that's no proof. Hachi hashta, let's differentiate between the cases. Hasam, in the case of shteil lechem or lechem aponim midi afke chutz lechomas hazara, if so le biyotze. Now the Rishus HaYochid of the Mishkan, of the Migdash, extends way beyond the confines of the Azara. I mean, after the Azara, you have the Chel Noshim, and you have the, you know, parts of the Har Bais that were enclosed. So you want to tell me that we should apply Hoil. Why? Because at a certain moment of time, he was Chayev, I shouldn't say Chayev, but he, well, he's also Chayev for an Avera, but beyond that, he generates a psul of yotze. And at that moment in time, he engenders a chi of hotso. Well, wait a minute, I have news for you. The psul yotze is going to be chal the moment he takes one step out of the azara. He's still in the rishus hayochid. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's going to take another couple of minutes until he takes this kizayis worth of lechem upon him outside the environs of the Beis HaMikdash, out into rishus harabim. And therefore, unless I have simultaneity, I will not apply the principle of Hoil. But now let's go back to our case, where in Rava's frame of reference, he has a chatzi grogeris worth he has a kizayis worth of truma, correct? Now he throws that kizayis into a bias, and the difference between kizayis and grogeres can be filled in and supplemented by the food that's already in the house. Ah, there, hocha, Shabbos v'tuma bahari adodi kasi. The bias is a bias tome, and the moment that he adds this kizayis of truma to the amount of truma that's already in the bias, we already, at that moment, when the truma goes into the bias, it becomes tome. Let that tuma generate a chiyuv linyan Shabbos. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, Behadi Hadadi, which in English is called simultaneity. Hacha, now a case of Rava Shabbos, V'tuma Bari Hadadi Kasyan. And therefore, it would be logical to assume that maybe since at the moment that the kizayis of truma hits the floor, so to speak, it goes, enters into the bias, and now it contracts tuma by tziruf, by attaching itself and integrating itself with the balance of the truma that's in the house, and therefore it engenders tuma, at that very moment he should be chayef hotzah even on a kizayis. So at this point, we have no answer to Rava's question. I don't know why the Gemara leaves out the word teku over here. That I'm not sure about. All right, we go back to our Mishnah now to complete the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Chazar v'chniso. So what happened was that he locks up a certain minimum shear in his chest over there. He locks it up. Then he takes it out to Rishu Sarabim, this minimum shear, and then he brings it back into his house. So the Mishnah says, in this case, Eino Chayav Ela B'Shiuro. The fact that initially he had locked it up for the purpose of, let's say, planting one single seed, he's not going to be chayav. And the answer is, because at some point, before he carried it out, he changed his mind. Chazar. And he decided he's not going to plant this seed. So Gemara asks Pshita. I mean, if he transfers a single seed without any intention to plant it, then he's not chayav. You need a shear. He didn't indicate that he no longer wants to carry out this seed. He actually put it back into his storehouse, but he put it in a definite place, separating it from the rest of the seeds in the storehouse, and that's called Makomo Nikar. We know exactly where it is. We can point to it. So I would have said that since we know Makomo Nikar, it means that his initial, he still has in mind, let's say in the back of his mind, his initial intention to take it out and plant it, even though he has it locked up in the storehouse. Ma'od etem, I would have thought, cave into Makomo Nikar, is b'milsa kamaise, koi, his initial intention was that it's enough for him to take out one seed, kamash malon. No. It's not so. His initial intention is gone. Why? Midazarke liotzar bitule batle. He completely negated and voided his initial intention. And we see it because he threw it into his otzar. Instead of taking it out and planting it as he initially intended to do so, well, he put it into his storehouse. Even though he put it in a special place, there's no significance to this seed. It's together with all the other seeds, and he hasn't yet designated his intention and indicated that he wants to take out this particular seed and plant it. And that leads us to the Mishnah. Okay. Hamotzi ochlin unesanon al ha'iskupa. So an iskupa is a protrusion, so to speak. It's an area that separates itself both from Rishus HaRabim and from Rishus HaYochid. Now, in order to be chayav from Leches Hotza, you have to pick it up in one Rishus and put it down in another Rishus. But here, instead of putting it down in another Rishus, he put it down on top of an iskupa. And an iskupa has no status whatsoever. In other words, it's neither Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYochid. It's like a third status. And therefore, Bein Shechazer V'Otzion, Bein Shotzion Acher, even if he goes back to pick it up from the iskupa and take it out into a public area, or someone else takes it out, Potur. In other words, in order to be chayav from Leches Hotza, you have to have one continuous Hotza. You start with an Akira, you continue to Hanocha, and there was no Hanocha in between. Here he had Hanocha in between the Akira and the ultimate Hanocha, and that Hanocha was a wedge between his Akira and his ultimate Hanocha, because that Hanocha was in a Makom Ptur, was in an area that is not a Rishus HaRab. And that's called an Askupa. So the Gemara is going to analyze exactly what the size, what the dimensions of an Askupa are. Now we have another part of the Mishnah. Kupa shehi malea peros. Right, you have now a receptacle that's full of fruits. Unesana aliskupa chitzona. Right, so he takes it out on his way to the public Rishus HaRabim, and he puts it down on an iskupa. Now, this iskupa, the other side of this iskupa, when he exits his threshold, is in Rishus HaRabim. The afal pisha rov peros bachutz poter ad sheyotzi es kol hakupa. Imagine, you've got fruits that are spread out in a large utensil, a large receptacle called a kupa. Some of the fruits are already in Rishus HaRabim. In fact, most of the fruits have already crossed the boundary of the iskupa, the outer boundary, entered into Rishus HaRabim. But the kupa itself is on the threshold. And therefore the Mishnah tells me that he's not chayev. You'll ask me the kasha, why isn't he chayev when most of the fruits are already in Rishus HaRabim? The answer is because they're in a kupa. And that kupa is not in Rishus HaRabim. He put it into an iskupa. So Gemara asks, hi iskupa mai? Right? What is an iskupa that is mentioned in our Mishnah? An iskupa is 9 tfachim high. So Gemara says, Elam iskupa, if this 9 tfachim high, we'll call it a pillar, a small pillar, is in Rishus HaRabim, then are you potter for such a thing? And the Mishnah says that if you put it down in the iskupa, you're potter. Hakamapik mishseyach Rishus HaRabim. He was standing in Rishus HaYochid, and he put it down onto an iskupa. And where is this iskupa? It's in Rishus HaRabim. He's Mimela, it's part of Rishus HaRabim. Now, wait a second. Why is an iskupa part of Rishus HaRabim? Just because it's located in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim means the place where the highway, the byway, the people walk. So the answer is that's called Lekatef. If I had a whiteboard, I would write that word on the board. Lekatef means that those who are walking in Rishus HaRabim, they need from time to time to rest their knapsack, their burden, and they look for a little bit of an amud, of some sort of a pillar, where they can, you know, put down the package and move it around, you know, from one side of the back to another side of the back. So that's considered Tashmish HaRabim. It's still being used by the people in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. Ela, by process of elimination, if he's potter, must be his kupa, Rishus HaYochid. And now the iskupa is located in a Rishus HaYochid. Now, if that is kupa in a Rishus HaYochid, why isn't that also called Rishus HaYochid? And the answer is, because the iskupa has the width of 10 tfachim, the width of 4 tfachim square. Once it's arval arba tfachim, it separates itself as an entity unto itself. The Gemara rejects this. Why? The Mishnah says that bein shechazer votzion, bein shotzion acher potur. I don't get it. If the iskupa is in Rishus HaYochid, and it has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, and it's, as we said before, it's 4 tefachim wide. So then why would the Mishnah say that if you pick an object up from the iskupa and you take it out to Rishus HaRabim, you're a potter, hakamapik Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim? He picked it up from the iskupa, which is Rishus HaYochid, and he took it out to Rishus HaRabim. Ela, says the Gemara, be iskupas caramelis. Now, what makes the iskupa caramelis? So if the iskupa is 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, then it's part of the Rishus HaYochid. If it's 9 tvachim high and it's in Rishus HaRabim, even if it's not 4 tvachim wide, then it's Rishus HaRabim. What makes this a skupa into a camel is? The answer is that it is less than 10 tvachim high, and if it's less than 10 tvachim high, then it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid. But it's 4 tvachim wide. So one of the conditions of Rishus HaYachid has been fulfilled. It has the height of 10 tvachim. And the other condition of a Rishus HaYachid, which is 4 tvachim, it doesn't have. So in such a case, the Rabbanan gave it a special status called a karmelis. Elis kupas karmelis v'akamashbalon taima denach b'karmelis halonach b'karmelis mechayov. That since the object is sitting on this iskupo, and the iskupo has the status of what? Of a karmelis, therefore when he carries it from an iskupo, it's no neither is just a rabma or just a yachid, he's potur. But let's say he carried it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah without putting it down in this karmelis, in this iskupa, then it'd be chayev. So the Gemara says, Masnisin to Loki Ben Azai. If this be the case, and our mission is against Ben Azai, the Sanya, Ben Azai says, Amotzi Michanus Leflatio Derech Satyo, or Stav, it depends how you pronounce it. So let's understand. There are certain areas in the public domain that have the status of a karmelis. And that's called stayo. This stayo is the area where the sellers gather together. They set up their wares. And nobody walks through there. So it's sort of ma'akev, it protects it's a barrier for the rabbin. So the rabbin can no longer use this area. So even though technically it is a Rishus HaRabim in the sense that you physically it's located in Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless, it's a karmelis. Why? Because despite the fact that it's located in Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, since the rabbim have no access to that area, it's all blocked up, you know, by the wares and the barrels and the samples or whatever is out there. Therefore, it loses its status as a Rosh Hashanah rabbim. Now what happens? The man picks up something in his store, his chanus, that has the status of Rosh Hashanah yochid. He carries it out into the flatio, which is that public area. That, you know, kikar, so to speak. That is certainly a Rosh Hashanah rabbin. You know, it's the city center. But, according to Ben Azai, if he crosses, while he's carrying, he crosses through a satya, means he passed through a karmelis, is chayav, the Tanakhava says he's chayav, but Ben Azai says he's potter. And this is based on Ben Azai's principle called Mahalech Ka'ome Domi, which loosely means that when you walk, every time you put your foot down, it's as if you stopped. Now what happens is, according to Ben Azai, when he took it out of the Chanus of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and he walked through the Satya, meaning through a Karmelis, and then he continued into Rosh Hashanah Rabim and put it down in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, he in effect had put it down in a karmelis, and then picked it up and brought it from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So he went from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a karmelis, from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. He's potter. Now, where did he put it down in the satya? He didn't put anything down in the satya. The answer is, Mahalech Ke'ome Domi. That Ben Azai sees walking as if every step you take and you put your foot down, you're stopping in that place. And that's called Anocha. And this is all a reflection of what we learned back on Daf Dalet, if anybody remembers that long ago. You know, it's almost 90 pages ago. And we learned about Hanochas Gufo Kanochas Chefetz Tomi, meaning that when a person stops, let's say, forget about Ben Azai. He stops dead in his tracks. So that's as if he put the object down on the ground. Why? Because his body is no longer in motion. It's now stationary, and that's called the Makom HaNocha, and it's as if that which is on his back is Nach. So according to Ben Azai, that Mahalika Omei Domi, the very fact that he steps down into the Carmel is as if he put it down on the Carmel where his feet are. And therefore he'd be put. But our Mishnah says that if he would carry it through a Carmelis and there's no Nach in the Carmelis, even though he's walking through the Carmelis, he would be Chayiv. Because our Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Tanakh. Kupa Shehi Malaya. We have now a basket, it's full of fruits, and he carries this basket from his house, putting it down on the threshold of his house, towards Rishu Sarabim. He never actually went out into the Rishu Sarabim, but the very moment that he puts the basket down, and part of the fruits, most of the fruits, already crossed the borderline. They're on the upper side of this receptacle, and therefore they're in Rishu Sarabim. He's pot. Amar Chizkiah. Lo Shanu, when do we learn this din of the Mishnah that he's potter, even though the fruit's already in Rishus HaRabim? That's only Bekupa Malei Kishuim and Dluim. We're talking about vegetables that are very long. Correct? Like gourds or squash. You know, have you seen the very long squash? I mean, they look like cucumbers, but they're very long. I mean, you can get a long cucumber too. I've seen a cucumber that's mamish a foot long. But normally cucumbers are relatively small, but if you get a squash, a good gizuta piece of squash, it's quite large. So according to Chizkiah, what happens is that although the fruits in this basket, or in this case vegetables, have entered into Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless the part of the fruit is still in Rishus HaYochid because it's a very long vegetable. Avol Malea Chardal, he gives a dramatic example of a very small kind of foodstuff, a mustard seed. Chayav, why? Because some of the mustard seeds in this receptacle have already entered into Rishus HaRabim. And Chizki is not bothered by the fact that all of these seeds are in a basket, which is sitting on the Eskupa. Alma Kasavar Chizki, we see that Chizki holds Agad Kli Loshme Agad. The fact that all these fruits are connected and are inside a utensil, that doesn't bother me. I view every single fruit unto itself, despite the fact that it's sitting in a utensil, and therefore, since it entered into Rishus HaRabim, he's chayav. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Malea Chardal Potur Alma Kasavar Eged Kli Shme Eged. Which means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we look at the kli, we look at the utensil, and the utensil is sitting in a we wouldn't call it Rishus HaYochid, but it's on an eskupa, but it's certainly not in Rishus HaRabim. The fact that the mustard seeds up front already crossed the boundary of the border into Rishus HaRabim, that's not going to be mechayevim because agav kli shmei agad. Our Mishnah seems to be irreconcilable with both Shittas. You cannot reconcile neither with Chizkiah nor with Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't seem like our Mishnah would reflect the Shita of Chizkiah the Ketani. It says, Achiyotzi es kol hakupa. He's not going to be chayav until he takes the entire kupa out to Rishus HaRabim. Taima de kol hakupa. The reason why he's not chayav is because he didn't lift up and place down the kupa in Rishus HaRabim. Hakol haperos. But if he had taken out all the fruits, Taima de kol hakupa. Right, So again, why is he chayav? Because he took out the entire receptacle. Okay, fine. Hakol haperos. But if he didn't take out I'm sorry, you have to emphasize kol hakupa. Kol hakupa means the entire kupa. So he's only gonna be chayav when he takes out the entire kupa. Well, that doesn't make sense according to Chizkiah. Chizkiah says you're chayvin if you didn't take out the entire kupa, as long as you have mustard seeds that are already in the top part of the kupa, over the bounds of Rishus HaRabin. Alma Kasova, you see that the Mishnah holds, Eged Klish Me Eged. That the reason why it's not going to be chayv, even if all the some of the fruits went into Rishus HaRabin, is because the kli itself has not been removed from Rishus HaYochid. Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Daika, it doesn't work out too well in Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Ketani, the Mishnah says, Afal Pisha Rov Peros Bachutz, even though most of the fruits are outside. In Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, he is potter taima de rov peros. Hakol peros, afal gav dagida kupa megabai, chayav. The Mishnah seems to imply that he would be chayav if all the peros cross the boundary line, even though the kli is still located in Rishus HaYochid. It must be that the kli pulls the peros, I don't mean literally, but figuratively, into Rishus HaYochid. Alma Kasavar Eged Kli, the connection to the Kli Shmei Eged. The El Akasha. So now the Mishnah doesn't work out according to anybody. And the Gemara answers, Chizkiya Mitaritz L'taymei, V'Rabbi Yochanan Mitaritz L'taymei. Each one is going to interpret the Mishnah in the light of their Shita. Chizkiya Mitaritz L'taymei. When it says in the Mishnah, Ad She Yotzi, Eskola Kupa, that he's not going to be chayiv until he removes the entire Kupa. We have to add a little bit to the Mishnah and amplify it by saying, Babedvar Mamurim, when do we say he's not chayiv? Unless he brings out the entire basket, that's Bekupa, Malea, Kishuim, and Gluim. That you have these long vegetables that are always partially inside unless you remove the entire basket. So you won't be chayiv until you get the basket out there. Avo melea chardol. But enochinami, in a case where he's got smaller fruits or vegetables inside the kupa, is then we don't have to wait until he removes the entire kupa and takes it out to Rishus HaRabim, but rather nasa kamisha otzi is kol kupa v'chayiv. Why? Because since he's got small vegetables or fruits, mustard seeds, that cross the border, he's going to be chayiv. And we don't care about Agav Kli, because according to Chizkiah, Agav Kli, Lav Shmei Agad. So the only case in which the Mishnah requires that you take out the entire basket is only if you have Kishuim and Gluim, because then the vegetables, until you take out the basket, are not in Rishus HaRabim entirely. Rabbi Yochanan Mitaritz L'Tamei, he's going to reinterpret the Mishnah, Afal Pi, Sherov Peros Bachutz. When the Mishnah says that even though most of the Peros are outside, Lo Brov Peros Bilvad Elafilu Kol Peros Potter. Now let's not limit the case to Rov Peros Bachutz. He's going to be Potter even if Kol HaPeros are Bachutz. Ad Sheyotzi Es Kol HaKupa. Until he's not going to be chayv until he brings out the entire kupa, because agad kli shmei agad. Again, this last line in the Gemara needs a lot of research. How to fit that into the language of the Mishnah? It's really a stretch. I mean, the Mishnah says explicitly, rov peros bachutz. Meisvei. We'll see if we can push it another 2 minutes. Meisvei, let's challenge Chizkiah from a brisa, Hamotzi Kupas Arochlim. So remember those people who would, Avon calling, I call it, you know, the peddlers that had these, you know, big long, and was compartmentalized, and they had all the spices, they went out to sell spices, and now he carries it out into Rosh Hashanah, Sona al Iskupa Chitzona. So as he's going out into the public area, he puts the kupa on the eskupa, and the brisa says, Afal pi sherov, minim bachutz, potter at sheyotzi es kol akupa. So when I first read this brisa, I thought that this is a clear-cut proof for Rabbi Yochanan, because it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that agav the kli, Agad Kli Shmei Agad, and therefore until he takes out the entire Kli, he's not going to be Chayav. So Gemara says, Kasalka daitach bitzrari. That what does he have, this rochel, in his basket? He's got srari. Srari means little bundles of spices. Now, if he has little bundles of spices, then Kasha Lechizkiah, Chizkiah says that once those bundles go into Rishus HaRabim, he's going to be chayav. Why does the Bryce say he's potter at Sheyotzi's Kola Kupa? Who cares about the Kupa? All I care about is the contents. We're not talking about a case of tsrari, but rather urnasi. Urnasi are a special kind of spice that are very long spices. And these spices apparently go from one end of the basket to the other end of the basket. So unless you take out the whole basket, then these long-stemmed spices will still be sitting in his Rishus HaYochid, at least, you know, one end of it. Masiv Rabibi Barabaye. Oh, this is a little bit more complicated, so I'm just going to start this. You'll have to finish this yourself. Hagonev Kis B'Shavis Chayav. Normally, we apply the principle called Kim Lei B'Durabimine. So if a person carries out somebody's wallet from the Nigdav's private property and brings it out to Rishus HaRabim, he would not have to pay as a Ganav because he's Chayav Misa for violating Meleches Shabbos. Comes along the Braisa and says, Shekvar Nischai Bigneva Kodem Sheyovo Lidei Iser Shabbos. A Ganav, when he does what's called Hagbah, and he lifts up the object, he already incurs a chiv gneva, and he hasn't yet violated Shabbos. Therefore, we cannot apply kimlei, because kimlei rabbi minei only patters him up if it was bevasachas, if there was simultaneity. But hoya megarir v'yotzef, he never actually lifted up the object when he stole it from the rishus of the nignav, but rather he dragged it out, and therefore he's only going to be chayev for gneva. Not midin hagbah, but midin shini rishus, meaning a ganav is chayav as soon as he takes an object out of someone's rishus. At that exact moment, he incurs a chiyuv hotzah because he took it out into rishus harabim. Therefore, he's potter. Sharei iser gneva v'iser shavis boim ki echad. Now, what does this have to do with our sugya? So Gemara says, if you hold like Reb Yochanan, that Eged Klishme Eged is Kadim Le Iser Gneva Le Iser Shabbos. He's not going to be Chayav on from Aleches Hotzah according to Reb Yochanan until the basket is actually brought in over the boundary line into Rishus HaRabim. That's when he's going to be Chayav for Shabbos. But he's already chayav for gneva because whatever's inside the basket, whatever inside the wallet, let's say, has already crossed the bounds and it's outside the rishus hayochid and the rishus hanigna. So even though he hasn't yet taken out the entire kli, right? In this case, you know, the entire kiss, as it's called in this brisa. And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, as far as Melech HaShabbos, he's not going to be chayv until he takes out the entire kiss. Nevertheless, he's already chayv as a ganav the very moment that part of the contents of the kiss crossed over into Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says that we're talking about a very strange case. Idi afki derech piv hachinami. You would have a great kasha if he pulled it out by the front of the kiss. That's called the mouth of the kiss. Right? A kiss is like a purse that has a mouth to it where you open the mouth and put the money in. But Hochamayaskinan, here we're dealing with a strange kind of a case. The Afki Derech Shulav. He turned the kiss around so that the opening of the kiss is facing the Rishus of the Nignav. And in such a case, there is no chiyuv gneva until he actually takes the entire kiss out. Meaning, if the kiss is facing opening forward, so then as soon as the opening crosses the boundaries into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's chayav as a ganov because he already has access to the contents of the kiss. But in this case, he turned it around, and since he turned it around, he won't be chayav until he takes out the entire kiss out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara now rejects this because va'ika makom chalama, which literally translates the place of the stitching. In other words, the bottom of the purse has a place where it's stitched up. The seams are bound together. And here on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, the Iboy Mafkalev is Shakil. The thief wishes he could simply tear open the seams and take out the coins. So that even though the opening of the pocketbook faces towards the inside, the thief already makes a kinyan akbar, well, we'll call it Mashiach, actually, to be more precise, the very moment that part of the kiss has crossed over the boundary line into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because he just can simply tear open, that's called mafkale, tear open the seams and take out the coins. So the Gemara answers to defend Rabbi Yochanan bin Naska, that what was inside the purse, not coins, but rather silver bars, like Hahu Naska, famous sugya in the third parak of Baba Basra, right? Naska. Naska is a silver bar. And that silver bar actually spans the full length of the purse in such a way that he could not actually get access to this bar if it's facing the wrong direction. So the Gemara is going to object even to this, because even though you're telling me it's a Naska with long bars, and therefore what you're going to say is that no individual bar really could fully leave the old domain and enter into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but nevertheless came under Ika Shnatzim, the good old Shnatzim. You remember Shnatzim? Shnatzim are these strings that are attached to the Naska. And if we assume that the strings are there, then Mapikle Ad Fume. So the Ganav could simply take the purse with its mouth in any direction. It really makes no difference because he's got this drawstring and shakil v'shakil. And if that be the case, he can loosen the drawstring, remove the silver bars, u'shnotzim agidi migave, and the ends of the drawstring is trailing behind the purse, bound to the inside, and it's at least partly inside the old domain. And the Gemara answers the Lekka Shnatzim. He buys Ema de Isle, even if it has Shnatzim, is Mecharche Iloye. That even if there is this drawstring, nevertheless it's wrapped around the purse. So Rashi explains that in the first objection of the Gemara of Kema de Ika Shnatzim, there's a difference here between Kinyan Gneva and the Chiyuv of the Ganov, and Hotzah Shabbos. Why? Because as long as there's a drawstring, and this string presumably is still hanging around in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, he's not going to be Chayv Hotzah. However, as far as the Chiyuv Gneva is concerned, then even if the Ganov only took the purse out, and part of it crossed into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then he can remove that which is in the inside the pocket, the purse. But as far as Chiyuv Shabbos is concerned, although he made a kinyan already, but he's not going to be chayv for Shabbos because the drawstring is still in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, he hasn't violated with Melechus Hotzah according to Rabbi Yochanan, because the lagging drawstring still binds the vessel back into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And he never did Otsah. So Gemara offers two answers. Either we're talking about a kiss which has no drawstring, or we're talking about a case where the drawstring is wrapped around the purse, and therefore he'll be chayv simultaneously for both Melecha, for Chiyuv Gneva and Meleches Otsah. And now the Gemara is going to go on here on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. So we got up to V'chein Omer Rava, which is four lines down from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph.